Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is my pleasure here on NFL First Round Draft Day to welcome onto the program, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, number 7, Joe Theismann. I've not talked to you in a while, so I'm very, very anxious to hear what you think of the draft tonight. But I wanted to start with, and I don't know if you've seen the news, the next jersey to be retired, the organization announced this morning, Darryl Green's number 28 will get retired in this upcoming year. When did you know in 1983 after they drafted him that he would be the fastest teammate you ever played with?
Didn't take long, Kevin. By the way, good morning. It's good to catch up.
Good morning to you.
It did not take long to figure out how fast Darryl Green was. And it wasn't just, you know, the thing that impressed me, and I tell people this all the time, Darryl Green, as a defensive back, made me a better quarterback. Because even in practice, if you were a little bit late, his reaction time and his skill set and his quickness and explosiveness, he'd get to the ball. So you had to have everything just right when you worked against Darryl. And we saw that at the professional level. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I still think today, if he ran, he'd probably be top five, you know, at the age of 80. I guess that's how old
he is. At the combine?
Now. But, yeah, at the combine, yeah. Yeah, I think he could beat Rich Eisen. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
But, no, I really feel like, you know, he's still it still amazes me how quick he was. And, you know, Joe just didn't want to use him on punt returns because
right.
of his value. And then when it got down to – you know, critical times, like against the Bears, for example, or we're in the playoffs, Darryl would go back and return a kick. I've said it all along. If Darryl Green had the opportunity to return kicks, like a Devin Hester, who is also going into the Hall of Fame, which is wonderful, he'd be a Hall of Fame kick returner. He'd have more touchdowns returned for kicks than anybody in football because it wasn't just his acceleration and his speed, but his quickness and elusiveness that really gave him talent. When he, you know, he just couldn't catch the football, to be honest with you. He had terrible hands.
Is that true? He ended up with a lot of interceptions, but was he typical of most DBs? He didn't have great hands?
DG, he could have had 20 more. And I bet he would tell you that, too, because I kid him all the time. But, no, he was. It was just exceptional. It's a great honor for him to have his jersey retired.
Yeah, I think you're right about him being a punt returner. In fact, I think the first time he touched the ball in a preseason game as a rookie, he returned a punt for a touchdown. And we all remember his first regular season game when he ran down Tony Dorsett in that Monday night opener. God, that was a scene, that Monday night opener, after you guys had won the Super Bowl the previous year.
You know what's interesting, Kevin, too, is I think Darryl was used on our kickoff team just as a safety. You know, Joe was so smart. Coach Gibbs and his staff, they felt that if a guy was returning a kick, you wanted somebody fast enough to be able to run him down, like we saw, you know, Darryl run down Tony.
Right.
But and now with this new kickoff rule, it'll be interesting to see what the composition of a kickoff team looks like again. Because of the changes
right.
in the rules and the opportunities, hopefully, to be able to open the game up there. But yeah, Darryl was used in a lot of different ways and just and a tremendous asset as an individual.
So what was it like, Joe, 53 years ago, 1971, when you were drafted by the Miami Dolphins in the fourth round?
It was a very different day than I expected. Back in 71, when we were having the draft, a lot of different teams had talked to me about, hey, if you're around in the first round, we're going to pick you. If you're around in the second round, we're going to pick you. So it wasn't my expectation to be picked high in the draft. It was sort of what people had told me that they were thinking about doing that got my expectations up. As it turns out, I sat in Roger Valdeseri, our public relations director's office, through the first round. Okay, fine, I sat there. It got into the second round, and you know, I'm looking at the Giants and the Eagles, you know, sort of being close to home. Didn't really study a lot of football teams. And then it got to the third round. Beginning of the third round, I said, Rog, I'm not going to sit around here all day and wait for somebody to pick me. I'm going down and play basketball. So if I get drafted, come and get me. So the fourth round rolls around, and the Miami Dolphins pick me. Roger sticks his head. I can still see him opening the door to it was a pit. It was in the convocation center where we were playing basketball. And he yelled down, hey, Joe. I said, yeah. He said, you've been drafted. I said, where? He said, the Miami Dolphins. I said, thanks. I'll be back when the game's over. I mean, it was very different than what we see today. It wasn't the television spectacle. We didn't have the TV shows that go around the draft today. And certainly it was disappointing because I thought I'd go higher, but not because I thought I was that good, but because people had told me that I probably would go higher. And I think we see this now played out on camera with the young guys as they sit in that room waiting and having the opportunity to be able to live every moment with them. You know, we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers and different players over the years of just how difficult it is to sit there and wait for your name to be called.
Yeah, it's hard. Hey, Joe, you were picked in the MLB draft also, weren't? Didn't you get picked as a baseball player?
I did. I got drafted by the Minnesota Twins. Yep.
That same year, right?
Right, that same year. They made me an offer. It was $500. And they said, if you're serious about playing baseball, we'll get serious about making you an offer. But that never came to fruition. But yeah. I'm still a big baseball fan. I travel a lot, do speeches and things, and I put a baseball game on in my hotel room, and it just keeps me company. You know, I'm probably one of those few people who watch a 1-0 ball game and think, man, what a great game.
I don't know that I've ever asked you this. What position did you play?
I was a shortstop by trade, but I played third base in college because back when I was in college, there was one baseball scholarship, and it was split between our shortstop and our catcher. So it turned out for me that I happened to play in a position where we had one guy on a half a scholarship. So
you played – I didn't know this. You played baseball at Notre Dame.
I played 7 games at Notre Dame. You only will see it through the box scores. There is no picture of me in a Notre Dame baseball uniform, Kevin. They've searched the archives to see if they could find one because I was curious.
Yeah.
But there are box scores. I think I hit like 360. We played a round robin tournament down in Florida. I think it was Colgate, Michigan State, Miami, Notre Dame, sort of a tournament they had, a spring tournament. But when spring football started, I went to spring football.
You also got basketball offers, though, out of high school, right?
Yeah, we did. As a matter of fact, one college offered our entire basketball team, all 5 guys, scholarships. But, yep, had opportunities to play. Those really were the 3 sports that we played back then, baseball, basketball, and football. You didn't really – there wasn't that focus so much on one particular sport that we see parents do now. And you didn't have a travel squad, and the things are – you know, for kids today, they sort of get pointed in a direction instead of experiencing everything and making
Agreed.
Them a more well-rounded individual. You know, you have these tennis camps where, you know, the kids get burned out at 18 or 20. And, of course, hockey was really something nobody thought about back then either. I mean, Now you've got parents getting up at 4 o'clock in the mornings because the only ring time you could get would be between 5 and 6. So, you know, sports have changed a lot. Parenting, someone who's in sports, have changed an awful lot.
Oh, yeah. But by the way, you know, in growing up in New Jersey, like you did, if you had come around many, many years later, you would have been a hell of a lacrosse player. Guarantee with your hands and the athlete that you were, that could have been one of your best sports. Anyway, all right, let's talk about the draft. So who do you think they'll take tonight at number two, and who do you prefer they take at number two overall?
Well, let me answer the second question first. I don't have a preference because I'm not sure the way Cliff is going to run the offense. I think it won't be Caleb. You know, I'm figuring he's going to go to Chicago.
Yeah, he's gone.
So it really boils down to, is it Jaden Daniels or is it Drake May? Now, when you step back and look at them, both of them throw the ball very well. I think Jaden brings a little bit more athletically to the table. I have no knowledge of who they might take. There's six of them that'll probably go in the first round, but I would probably lean towards Jaden because of his athleticism. But it isn't just him being an athlete. I think he's grown an awful lot from his transfer from Arizona State to LSU. He grew tremendously at the quarterback position. Had to learn a new system, had to be in a new locker room, had to make adjustments that way. And I think that's something you have to consider when you think about the young man that you're getting. And Drake's a heck of a kid. Interestingly enough, I shot a commercial in North Carolina probably 5-6 years ago, and there was this young little freshman kid. I mean, skinny kid. But boy, could he throw the football. And he was we did a scene with some kids out throwing the ball around. And he happened to be the young man who was there with me. And I noticed a long, long time ago his ability to be able to throw the football and athletically move around. So, you know, I don't know which direction they're going to go. I'm sure they've made their decision by now. I don't think they're entertaining any
trades
moves. I just can't see it. You know, we need to draft a quarterback, period. I think if you go anyplace else but there, there's going to be a lot of eyebrows raised.
What would be the most important thing you'd want to know about any of these young men before you drafted them?
I think their work ethic is very important to understand. To talk to their high school coaches, to talk to their college coaches, to talk to teammates and see what kind of a teammate they are. You know, draft day will be on today with Kevin Costner. And I don't think that is fantasy. You know, what do the teammates have to say? You know, were you invited to the parties? Were you invited to, what was it like when you lost? How did you react when we lost a game? Because everybody loses a game. What was your reaction? What happened when things didn't go well? What was the response of the individual? I want to know more about – I've seen him throw the football. I know what he can do athletically. But I want to know the person. I want to get to know the person. Adam and Dan, they have done their due diligence, and their scouts, they, I guarantee you, have combed through every piece of information for all these guys to figure out exactly where they might fit in culturally with our organization.
You haven't mentioned J.J. McCarthy yet, but I'm going to get to him in a moment. But I want to ask you about the leadership piece, because I think one of the things from afar, you know, none of us are involved in speaking to these young men, but one of the things you notice about J.J. McCarthy and Drake May, they're extroverts. They're clear, you know, vocal leaders. People have talked about them in that way. Super high intangibles, leadership ability. And Jaden Daniels, while people have said great things about his, you know, work ethic, leadership, the same thing, I think it's clear, at least from afar, he's much more introverted and not nearly the vocal leader. Is it important from a leadership standpoint to be vocal?
No, it's not. You lead by example, not by your words. Everybody, you know, you hear the saying, you know, you can talk a big game. But what happens when it gets down to performance? You know, I've always believed that you're evaluated on your ability to be able to play the game, not the way you talk about it. And as a matter of fact, if you're a rookie quarterback and you're coming into a locker room, you're better off to listen than you are to talk a lot. You're better off to understand the chemistry in the locker room, the culture in the locker room.
Were you a good listener when you showed up?
Well, I spent my first 3 years in Toronto.
I know, but I'm saying when you got here with Billy and Sonny, were you a good listener?
I had to be, but I wasn't.
Right.
I was a little bit brash. Actually, it was a lot brash. And I look back, I have a little saying that, you know, if you don't believe in who you are, who's going to believe in you? And I think that goes with the quarterback position. You have to have the ability to believe that you can play the position, but you don't necessarily have to be able to tell everybody about it.
Right.
Your actions will speak for you. And I think that's one of the most important things that these young guys are going to learn is just how different it is at the professional level. You know, if you're going to be up against pros, you're going to be at practices, you're going to make mistakes. How do you handle those mistakes at this level? That's something that people will be observing. You know, the interaction doesn't have to be one where I'm the leader. The interaction is you get to know the guys. You get to know them. Let them get to know you. That's the growth that I'm looking for.
Does the leader of the team, or let me just say specifically the offense, does it have to be the quarterback for the team to be successful?
Yes, to a degree. I think he has to be one of the leaders on that side of the ball. But you can have others. You have other guys that can stand up and have a voice. You know, you look at our football team. Jonathan Allen certainly has a great voice for that football team. He's the face of the franchise. I think that on the offensive side of the ball, the quarterback role is one you handle the ball all the time. You have to make decisions with the ball in your hand. Obviously, those are positions of whether it's business or life. That's a position where you have to be a leader. So, yeah, I think you have to be one, but you don't have to be the only one.
Talking to Joe Theismann here, who's joining us on draft day number one. So you didn't mention J.J. McCarthy. There has been some discussion about how high he could go. People have, at various times over the last week, suggested that Washington might be interested. What do you think of J.J. McCarthy?
I think everybody's interested. I mean, you've got six of them, Bo Nix and Michael Penix as well, as the three we talked about, as well as J.J. J.J. has come out of a system where he's been successful. And I think being a winner does make a difference. Learning how to win does make a difference. And certainly he has done that under Jim. And so, you know, I think that all six of these guys are unique in certain ways. J.J. is a very solid quarterback, throws the ball well. Again, he's one of those guys that had a lot of talent around him. We saw with Bryce Young down in Alabama. And truthfully, Jaden Daniels at LSU, you've had a lot of guys that play on Michael Penix in Washington. I think J.J. certainly is a guy who's going to make a move somewhere. I think somebody's going to get one heck of a quarterback. And you're not sure where, you know, I mean, he's one of those guys that he's sort of risen up the draft status, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Joe, back to Jaden Daniels, who I think you think and I think will be the pick. I mean, they could certainly surprise us. We don't know enough about this regime, and they've let very little out at all about their plans. But
and by the way, Kevin, I love that. Yeah. I love the
fact. Yeah, finally, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody understands and respects the process. You know, who they pick, good for that young person. They I guarantee you, they know at this point. I just can't see him fielding trade offers. Although New England would probably be the next likely place where there might be consideration, or the Chargers at five, there might be consideration. Certainly Minnesota at 11 is one where people are going to try and want to get up. But like I said, there's six really good young men. Now, how do they fit into your system? That's the big question.
Is there anything about Daniels and his frame, which has been one concern? He's nearly 6'4", about 210, but skinny up top. Does that concern you at all?
6'4", 210 is a great size.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want him at 230? You want him?
He just looks
really
skinny in a up top in an NFL uniform and in his college uniform.
Well, you know, when you wear white clothes, it makes you look skinny anyway, Kevin.
Well, I should wear white more often then.
No, he's. I think the fact, you know, his height is an excellent size. His weight at 210. Remember, you're talking about a young man coming out of college, and how much time do they really get to spend learning their trade in college? Coaches, I believe this is correct, only have 20 hours a week to work with their quarterbacks. There's a certain amount of time that they can spend in a weight room. Then, you know, you have your classes that you attend. So now all of a sudden your job becomes that of a professional quarterback. Your job becomes keeping yourself physically tight. There's a lot of guys that have been very lean at a lot of positions, particularly wide receiver. We've seen smallish type of individuals take a lot of hits, and they bend and they don't break. And yet we've seen guys that are, I guess you could say, they look bigger in a uniform that are fairly fragile. So far it looks like his body makeup hasn't been a problem at all, and it wouldn't be a concern for me.
So Daniels would be your guy. Slight lean over May, but he would be your pick.
If I was picking, that's who I would choose, yes.
Joe, what do you know so far? What should we know about the new regime? I know that you certainly have had conversations with Josh Harris, but what about Peters and Quinn? Because we haven't, I don't think we've had you on since both were hired. Maybe we did, but what have you gotten to know about what we have now as our brain trust?
Well, I know what, you know, Dan brings a heck of a resume, a world champion quarterback, world champion coach, been one of the best defensive coordinators in football over an extended period of time. I think did a heck of a job, I believe, in Atlanta. So, I mean, he brings a lot of experience to the position, a lot of winning to the position of head coach. Adam comes out of an organization that's been as solid as any in football in San Francisco. And so I think the two of them have a plan. I think it's solid. You take a look at the deals that have been made. It looks like, Kevin, we're probably going to start 11 new guys of the starting 22 this year. The veterans they brought in, like, you know, four guys from the Cowboys on both sides of the ball. You know, Bobby Wagner, I think, comes in a leadership role on the defensive side.
Yep.
You know, you bring in Chin as a safety. You've added people that have experience, people that can adjust to systems well. That's another thing. You know, nobody really thinks about this. We will have a lot of new faces, but new faces that have had experience are able to adjust very quickly and can fit into the schemes that they want to run very quickly. So it isn't just a whole bunch of new faces. It's guys with experience that can make things happen. And, you know, I think they've been very thoughtful in the positions that they wanted to be able to strengthen this football team. Certainly quarterback will in all likelihood be the first round. Wouldn't be surprised with that next pick. I believe it's 36. That's what would be an offensive lineman. I think that's probably the next area of need that they're looking at.
Yeah. For sure. Do you have any sort of sense of Cliff Kingsbury and what he'd like to do offensively?
Well, you know, you look at Cliff's history. I think, you know, he likes to throw the football. I think he'll seek some sense of balance. But he's, you know, he's very creative from an offensive passing standpoint. And I think that'll continue here in Washington.
Joe, you're the best. I always love our conversations. I hope all is well, and we'll talk soon.
I look forward to it, Kevin. Take care. It should be a fun day.
Yep. Joe Theismann, everybody, weighing in on the draft and telling some stories about his draft day 53 years ago, although I don't know if it was actually in the spring of 1971. I don't know when the draft took place. But he was playing basketball. He decided to hoop it up during the draft. All right, some Denton news when we come back. We'll give you guys a chance to weigh in. Ben will join us at 12. I'm going to go through some of the other players that I like, including my annual look at the running backs specifically that I like. Not that Washington's in the market for one, but I've done that every year, and that's one of the areas that I've hit on more often than not. We'll do all of that between now and the end of the show. Don't forget, we've got every pick every moment from the draft right here on the Team 980, starting tonight, right after Craig's show from Detroit at 8 p.m.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start at the NBA. Big shocker. Miami stunning the Boston Celtics yesterday, 111-101. Tyler Hero at 24 for Miami. I didn't see this. I thought this was going to be a sweep, and Miami came to play in Boston.
It's, first of all, the first time, I believe, in NBA history that a team has won by double digits as a 14-point underdog or more. They went off at 14, 14 and a half. Nobody gave them anywhere near a chance. They got beat badly in game one. They were down by as many as 34 in game one at Boston. They were playing without Jimmy Butler for a second straight game, without Terry Rozier, a starter, for a second straight game. And like you said, Denton, everybody was expecting an easy four-game sweep. But this is Miami. This is Eric Spoelstra. And the Heat are just one of the true badass organizations in all of professional sports. There is a culture, a winning culture, a toughness in their culture. Makes them a little bit like the Ravens to a certain degree. But you cannot, for whatever reason, even without Jimmy Butler, who's been an NBA playoff star for the Heat over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years, you can't count them out. Let me just give you guys a little bit of what happened here, because there is some interest, even if you're not following it. So last night, the answer to getting blown out and not having the star players, your biggest star, was to not slow the game down, not to bring it to a crawl. It was to shoot every single open three that they had and to play with pace. Spoelstra was asked before the game about how many threes he thought they would shoot. He said, well, maybe 50 is unrealistic, but I understand the math of it. We're going to shoot a lot of threes to match what Boston did and to give ourselves a chance. They were 23 of 43 from behind the arc. Look, if they miss those shots, they lose. But it was their one chance to stay in the game, and everybody shot them. Everybody shot them. It wasn't one or two guys. It was four or five guys were knocking them down. And they won by 10 on the road against the best regular season team in the league, becoming, again, first playoff team in the past 30 years to win by double digits as a 14-point or greater dog. Also last night, 62.2% of their points came from behind the arc. That is an NBA playoff all-time high. 62.2% of their points coming from behind the arc. It was a shooting display like you would not believe. I don't know if this is an aberration or if it's a trend, but, you know, Boston's one of those teams. Remember, Miami got them in the Eastern Conference Finals last year as a big underdog, and then they ended up losing to Denver in the finals. There is something about this franchise, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, the toughness that they have. Last night, you had five players make at least three-pointers in the game, and they attacked it that way. It was the only chance they had. Will Boston obviously run them off the line in the next game? They probably will, but Miami's got guys that can drive the basketball too. It's one of those things, Denton. I don't think Miami turns this into a long series. Boston's that much better. And without Jimmy Butler, I just can't possibly wrap my arms around the possibility of Miami turning this into a 6 or 7 game series with a chance to win. But game three is the critical game because Boston will feel it. You know, they have felt it before. The series context, game context, if they're down 2-1 in a series, they could start to feel it a little bit and start to press a little bit more. They are prone with Tatum and Brown to playing the kind of basketball that Miami loves to see somebody play against them, which is too much ISO, too much two-man, where they don't have to get worn out guarding. Boston doesn't play that way all the time. They played that way last night. Game three will be interesting. But, man, that is a stunner last night. 14-point underdogs in a playoff game on the road, and they won by 10. I mean, it was a shooting display. They 23 threes. There were 14 made twos in the game for them.
Have you looked at the game three line yet?
I have not. Let me guess. I'm going to guess that Boston is a 6-point favorite.
9.5.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Way off on that one. Yeah, I mean, the odds makers believe this was a one-off. By the way, Butler's out for this series at minimum, right?
Yeah, he's out for like a month. So yeah. Even if they got to the next series, he'd probably be out for just about all of that, albeit for maybe like a surprise Game 7 return or something like that.
Yeah. That last night's one of the more fascinating ways in which a team played. Not that it's so unusual, but for Miami to watch their total change in strategy from game one, with Spoelstra recognizing, look, it's our chance to win. We got to make these threes, but we aren't going to pass with anybody on the floor on an open three. And they crushed them with it. All right, what else?
So we briefly mentioned this, but Washington declined Jamin Davis's fifth-year option. Not a massive surprise. He obviously was not drafted by this regime. I do feel like this is kind of the end, though. I thought Jamin Davis had potential. I thought we saw it at certain times throughout the course of the last two seasons, but I can't imagine he's on the team past this season.
I don't feel the same way. I'm going to let Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. and their defensive staff, they look for explosive players that can get after the quarterback. They want to create, and we saw it even with the players, even if they weren't long-term signings, we saw it with their mode in free agency. I did not think they would pick up the fifth-year option because there's been an inconsistent player there with off-the-field issues. You know, that reckless driving charge in March of 2022, which was, you know, punishable by up to 12 months in jail. He appealed the conviction, remember, avoided jail time, but he was sentenced to 180 days and had his license revoked for 6 months. And remember, those were back-to-back incidents for him. But we move on from that. I think that they're smart not to pick it up, but I think they have plans for him. I think his athleticism will be utilized by Dan Quinn, unless they think that he, for whatever reason, can't pick up on what they want to do. But I'm actually intrigued with how they use him this year.
All right, what else? I hope you are correct. I hope you're correct, but I am not as benefited.
There was no way that it made sense to pick up the fifth-year option.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, commit to that.
No.
With a guy with, right now, his track record on and off. But I think that with Luvu and Davis, Wagner, we're going to see some schemed up pressure. And I think Davis will be a part of it. I do. All right, what else?
Well, speaking of our team, we got a new hashtag. Gone is HTTC. Gone is take command. In is hashtag raise hail. And that's how you get the official W logo on Twitter. So that's the team's official hashtag this season. I like it personally. I'm all for it.
I didn't even realize they had an official hashtag before. I did ask you about this raise hail because before the show I checked Twitter, which I do before the show, and several of you had sent me this. What do you think? And you suggested to me that this may be an indication that they're moving away from Commanders, or people think that. And the reason being that their official hashtag was take command last year.
Last year, I think it was HTTC, but they also used take command a ton. So it is
okay.
worth pointing out that Commanders is now no longer part of their official hashtag.
As in the C for Commanders and as in the word command. And it's
right.
Raise hail.
Hail.
Okay.
Hail to whatever's next.
Let me just tell you, I have, like many of you, I have thought about where they are on this. I think I shared this with you last week or the week before. Somebody sent something in that said, why haven't we heard anything from them? I do think personally, when we get through this draft, between the end of the draft and the beginning of training camp, I think it's appropriate for Josh Harris, no one else, Josh Harris, to address the name and whether or not this is something they're considering changing. Part of me is concerned that they have moved into the mode of kind of playing the clock here. The longer it's the Commanders, the more accepting of it, because you just get exhausted with it. And if they're successful this year or next, and maybe the reason for that is it's very expensive or it's very logistically difficult to, you know, a year or 2 years now after it was changed, to go change it again. I know how most of you feel. I feel the same way. And we'll stay on it. But I do think it's time for Josh Harris to address it. You know, this idea that they can't walk and chew gum at the same time has now run its course. We understand that it wasn't a priority, okay? You can think that this is very important and also not assign it the top, you know, rung on the priority list. We get it. They had to fix a stadium. They had to make sure that the stadium was safe for people to attend games because it was essentially crumbling around their feet. They had to, you know, do what they needed to do with respect to putting the people in place that can ultimately create a winner. But I think this has been certainly something that's been talked about, addressed, but I'd love to know how much work they've done on it and whether or not that work has produced, you know, a result which is going to be difficult, going to be very expensive. Branding and marketing people are telling us it's not worth it. But then what you're saying and what many people on social media are saying is maybe this change to raise hail is an indication that maybe some good news is coming with respect to the name and the brand. We'll see. I get this weird feeling and not a pleasant feeling in the pit of my stomach that they've gone a little bit Dean Smith four corners on us. And they're hoping that they can, you know, run the clock out with, you know, with probably in their eyes at least a 1-point lead, that enough people that have barked loudly will just eventually get exhausted and say, whatever, let's just win. They might be right. I think there are a lot of people that will not come back without a change. I think that they understand that. But the issue is whether or not it's cost justifiable. We'll see. So raise hail, hashtag, That's fine with me. I don't get into these hashtags and whether or not they're trying to send a message. Maybe they are with this one. Who knows? All right, anything else?
Yeah, final one here. This one is right up your alley. TikTok is getting banned. The president said that they have 9 months for ByteDance, which is a Chinese-run corporation, so they don't love that. They got 9 months to sell, or they're going to be banned in the U.S. This is like the fourth time that TikTok has been threatened with being banned in the U.S., so we'll see if it actually comes to fruition. But it is something.
Yeah, this is part of the big $95 billion aid package, which includes, you know, the Ukraine money and the Israel money and the humanitarian money for Gaza, right? It's all tied in to all of this. I'm not a TikTok. Actually, that's not true. I'm not a TikTok content provider, that's for sure. But I do, on occasion, get sucked into the rabbit hole of watching TikTok videos. There's no doubt that sometimes they are very entertaining. When they speak to your interests and with respect to people or topics. But yeah, I mean, look, China's a legitimate threat, and we'll see whether or not we can get different ownership of TikTok. There's a whole lot in this conversation, First Amendment, et cetera, which we're not certainly going to spend a lot of time on draft day. All right, Ben Standig coming up at 12. We're going to give you guys a chance to weigh in as well. But Jaden Daniels has made the rounds. Several of the quarterbacks have made the rounds doing interviews, including yesterday and even this morning. We'll play some of that sound from you, for you from Jaden and perhaps another quarterback or two when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
To get to some pass rushers, offensive linemen, and running backs that I like coming up here shortly. But the quarterbacks are kind of on the circuit, I guess, in Detroit. Jaden Daniels and Drake May were together yesterday at a Special Olympics event. I saw Jaden Daniels this morning on ESPN. J.J. McCarthy was on with Rich Eisen. Denton's put together a couple of sound bites. Look, I've watched every single Jaden Daniels interview, I think, going back to, you know, last year at LSU. Let's just say that from a communication standpoint, it's not as dynamic as his game on the field. I'm not saying he's a bad communicator. He's just a reluctant communicator. He is shy. He's an introvert. J.J. McCarthy, not so much. This was J.J. McCarthy actually talking about Washington. And yes, because everybody's been asking these guys about the Topgolf visit.
Now, was that personal visit the one with 21 others?
It was,
as well?
Yes. It felt was. Like a little, you know, back in the day college recruiting visit.
Was yeah. that? Because what was that like?
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. You know, being around the guys, the coaches, like it's such a laid back setting, and you know, you get to show off the golf game a little bit.
I heard about that. Yeah. So what is your handicap? What is it? What do you got, man?
I don't have an official one, but I'd say I'm around a 10. Yeah.
So you're at Top Golf though with all these guys. Was it some sort of alpha male who can drive it the longest?
Like that? I'm not gonna lie, Drake Bay and I were going back at it, just doing the trying to get it over the net. That was the goal.
Yeah. Did we succeed?
No. You know, with those shafts, they're nice and flimsy, so they don't allow you to get over
it.
Blame it on
the equipment. Right, I like it because that it just from those on the outside looking in, it just felt like a unique way to take a look at prospect before the end of the journey. It was the last one, right?
Yes.
For you?
Yes. But supposedly Adam Pearce was talking about this was something they did back in San Fran. So
right.
Wasn't super. Well, it was unique to me and to the guys there because it's obviously, first time going through this. But it was a lot of fun. And I really liked the way, he went about that whole process because, the owner was in for 2 days and he wanted to get everyone there in those 2 days. So it was pretty special the way he handled that.
There you go. that's what J.J. McCarthy sounds like. He's a 10 handicap. That's what he said. Pretty good. Mid-handicapper. Mid to high handicapper, I guess you would describe him as. This was Jaden Daniels kind of talking about Washington, the visit last week, and more.
If you went there and to help kind of revive the franchise and get that franchise back on top.
It'll be fun. Be able to go there and just be blessed to really just fulfill my childhood dream, whoever that is, whatever team that is. So, I'm happy.
How about the whole idea of the group visit? Some guys said they really, really liked it. Did you get a lot out of it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just have fun. It was one of it was the only visit I went to that wasn't really, where you have to remember a play or, try to remember an instar or something like that. So it was dope, and especially be with guys that I kind of knew throughout the process and before that. So it was fun.
Scale from 1 to 10, how likely are you to cry tomorrow?
I don't know. Maybe my mom cry. I don't know. I will see. I can't even give you a number.
And I think I saw recently that you don't like mumble sauce. Is that correct? It's like a DC sauce on wings.
I ain't say that. I don't remember. I said that. I don't say that. I'm getting reports that I don't even know about.
Are you familiar with any DC traditions?
I'm not. I'm not. Not at all.
I think one of the things you can tell from him, here goes Sheehan explaining and talking about how much he loves Jaden Daniels. I watched him this morning on ESPN, too. He is smart. Like, he does not, he's not about to get trapped into giving any answer that's controversial. The mumbo sauce question, like, is it true? You don't like it? No, he doesn't know anything about it. And this morning there were a couple of questions with respect to Antonio Pierce and what it would be like to play with Vegas. And I think he's handled those questions very well too. He's like, of course, Antonio Pierce is a guy that I know, but I'm going to be happy wherever I go. They're probably not going to be able to pick me. And he was also asked this morning about, does he consider himself to be the best quarterback in the draft? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, look, there are a lot of great quarterbacks in this draft. As a competitor, you always think you're the best, so that would be my answer. But I understand how many good quarterbacks there are in this draft. It's the right answer there, too. So, yeah, he's different, certainly in personality, than McCarthy and May. But I think he's pretty sharp, and I don't know what that means. We asked Theismann about it. This is really the area in which we're going to have to hope that Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and Quinn and the group have been around longer than we have in evaluating these players, and they know what to look for and not look for. I still think there is an outside possibility of a surprise, but I still have that at somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 20% tops, meaning May, McCarthy, or, a trade back. I still think this is 75-80% Jaden Daniels, if not higher now. But because they've been so secretive and no one's gotten anything from them, you don't know how they operate. Nobody guessed Trey Lance necessarily. That wasn't the overwhelming favorite when they picked Trey Lance after trading up to number 3 a few years ago in San Francisco. But I am expecting Jaden Daniels. I am. I'm going to just take a quick moment to talk about a couple of other positions, because we could see a trade tonight back into the first round for either an offensive lineman or I think maybe even a pass rusher. I think if they get the quarterback for Quinn's offense and Cliff Kingsbury, they may focus on adding a dynamic pass rusher. Of the pass rushers, my favorite player as a pass rusher and one of my favorite players in this draft is Leatu Letu from UCLA. He is high motor, physical, always in the backfield. That UCLA defense this year, Denton, you know how good it was. This dude is a monster. The issue with him is he's had injuries at the neck, you know, as far as his neck goes, that some believe could be career threatening at some point. So you have to be very careful with a guy like Latu, and probably one of the reasons he's not going to be a top five or top seven pick in this draft. I really do like Chop Robinson from Penn State, and I like Austin Booker from Kansas as well. Those are the other two guys that I really like. Booker is one of those lanky 6 foot five, 6 foot six inch, 235, 240 pounders. And he just looks the part of defensive end in 2024 from a frame standpoint. I mean, he looks almost like a bigger tight end or receiver than he does an edge rusher. Very Danielle Hunter-like in his build, but I really loved his tape. I didn't remember watching him that much, to be honest with you, at Kansas. And then Chop Robinson may be like one of those true quick twitch, you know, pass rushers that a guy like Quinn may look at and see a little bit of Micah Parsons in Chop Robinson. I mean, he may be the quickest first step pass rusher in the class and playmaker. He's long armed. He's athletic as hell. There's a lot to like about Chop Robinson, who, by the way, is from here, went to QO, went to Quince Orchard in Montgomery County. You know, you just would have loved to have seen even more production from him. You know, he had a concussion against Ohio State, limited him to 9 or 10 games total, I think it was, in 2023. But those are the pass rushers. Letu might be my favorite player in the draft overall, not named Daniels. But I would be very concerned about the neck. You'd need the medical to weigh in. Like Chop Robinson a ton, and I'm a big fan after watching a bunch of sort of pass rusher tape of Austin Booker from Kansas. I think he really looks like one of today's NFL lean, lanky, long-armed playmakers. I'll weigh in on some of the offensive linemen that could come late in the first round tonight. I'll also give you some running backs that I like. That's become, for draft day for me, kind of an annual tradition. Ben Standing next after you hear from a few of our sponsors. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.